have your Bibles today, then please turn to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Listen now to the word of God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate it on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll pray before we go into today's word. God, that we would hear your word, that we would each hear a personal message from you. Lord, that we would be able to take the word that you give to us today, find the areas of our lives that you're asking us to adjust, finding a way for us to walk on that path with you. It's your word that guides us. It's your word that pierces the darkness. When we are confused, when we are disoriented, Lord, your word is the one that sets us on the right path again. Lord, when we are facing challenges, when we have things to do, when we are trying to do the work of your kingdom, it's your word that centers us. It's your word that leads us and comforts us. So Lord, we fall back on it time and time again, knowing that your word is not just history, it's not just a story about old people in an old time, but Lord, your word is alive. It speaks to us. It is still relevant to us today. So Lord, help us to accept your word, to allow the word into our hearts, and allow our lives to really change and to be centered upon your word. We thank you, we trust in the work of the Holy Spirit that is in us, around us, and we really believe that you have a purpose for each and every one of us. You have a purpose for us as individuals, you have a purpose for us together as a ministry and as a church. Help us, Lord, to find it and to walk it well by trusting and relying on your word. We thank you, God, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Today's message is titled, Trust, Obey, and Go. I actually wrote another sermon in the beginning of the week because I knew that, Valentine's Day was coming up and, you know, that theme was in my head. So I wrote a sermon all about, like, love and the love of God and, you know, Valentine's Day. But the prevailing thought in my mind this week centered around the mission trip that we are going on, and that we will be leaving for very shortly. There's been a lot of preparation that's gone into this mission trip. We're going to Honduras in just a few days, in just a few hours, if you really think about it. That's been on my mind. And, you know, we've been practicing. The youth group joined all together on Friday to really put a lot of time and effort into the programs that we are preparing for Honduras this year. It is our fourth year going, and, you know, thinking about it and looking back on some of the things that we were planning, thinking about some of the emotions that go into it, you know, I was thinking this week, you know, there should be a lot of excitement, you know, that you get to partner with God, that God is using us, that God is calling us to go to a certain place, you know, to speak his word, to share his love, to be light, and, you know, those kinds of ideas and those kind of thoughts. I should have been super excited. You know, I should have been very, you know, wow, God, we're so lucky. We're so blessed. We're being counted as a church. You need us. You're using us. And in the past, I've had a lot of those thoughts. I was very much raring to go. I was like, oh, you know, I can't wait to be on that plane. I can't wait to land in Honduras. And, you know, seeing some of the growth and seeing some of the our kids maturing and our kids developing, the youth students who are putting their all, their energy, their hearts into preparation, you know, it motivates me to be excited for this trip. Seeing the ways in which they're growing up, seeing the ways in which they're serving each other, they're serving the team, the things that the attitudes that they're having, it really like warms my heart. And so thinking about the trip, I should have been ready and very excited to go. But this week, I felt a lot of nervousness. This week, I felt a lot of anxiety. I was kind of fearful. I'm not really sure why. If you think about it in human terms, it's like, okay, you know, you've been there 4 times now. You know, like you know the town. If I close my eyes, I can kind of imagine the road up to the hill that we're going on. If you've gone to Honduras, you know. I can imagine the path. I know it almost to that degree. I know some of the houses. I know who lives in some of the houses. So I can close my eyes and imagine the town. And I know the people that live in the houses. It's like, wow, you really, you know, have a lot of experience there. But for some reason, thinking about this trip, preparing for this trip, praying about this trip, thinking about this trip, it caused some sleepless nights this week. And I couldn't quite place what was going on inside of me. I wasn't really sure what was going on. And I realized that it was, you know, a certain attitude. It was just something that the kids were saying. It's something that I know the kids feel, but it's just something that I caught in my ear, and maybe that thought put a lot of pressure on me. The kids don't say it outright, our youth group students, but there's a certain level of calm or a certain level of comfort that the kids have because they look to me and they say, oh, you know, Pastor Edwin will take care of it. Don't worry about it. You know, Pastor Edwin, he's been there before. He knows how things are going to go. Don't worry about it. I heard them kind of talking like that to each other. They're like, don't worry about things like that. Pastor Edwin will take care of it. Like, Pastor Edwin knows he's going to take care of it. And they said it in a way that was, you know, I was very proud of that. I was like, oh, wow, you know, like, these kids trust me. Oh, these kids look to me and they see me as a leader. And in some ways, I was like, oh, finally, these brats. It took them 4 years to have this sort of attitude towards me. But I was very thankful. I was very happy to hear that. But when I got home, I realized that I felt a certain level of anxiety, a certain level of pressure. It was a little bit difficult for me to deal with. I thought, yeah, you know, I think a lot of people are relying on me. A lot of people are just trusting me. No one's really asked me, like, hey, what did you plan for this trip? You know, what are you going to be doing with the youth ministry? What are you going to be doing with the VBS? Nobody really knows, except for the things that I've been planning. I haven't had to get anything really approved, or I haven't had things checked. You know, things are just going to kind of go, and people are just kind of thinking, yeah, he'll take care of it. It'll be okay. And I thought, wow, this must be the pressures of being a leader. This must be the pressure of having people trust you. You know, in some ways, it reminded me again, you know, there are times that your experience, that your know-how can get you through certain things. But this time I was like, I can't do that. I feel so much pressure. I feel so much anxiety inside of myself. And so once again, the good thing that happened out of all of this, it sounds like a negative, but the good thing that happened out of all of this is it made me turn to the Word of God. It made me get down on my knees to pray. It made me really ask God, you know, you have to help me through this. You have to lead me through this. You have to be the leader. You have to be the guide. You have to be there for me because I can't do this. The way that I feel right now, the things that I'm going through inside of myself, I am not this leader that people see me to be. I don't have everything figured out. If they trust me and rely on me for these things to go well, something will get messed up. So I said, oh man, God, you have to be there for me. So this week was a lot of like prayer for me. If you haven't heard, I got an office in this church, and I've been like kind of immersing myself in the office and preparing it and, you know, decorating it. And in some ways, it was my escape from these feelings of anxiety, this feeling of pressure and preparing for the missions trip. And so through this week, you know, I was like trying to write a sermon about Valentine's Day and love and all this nice stuff. But this came to the center. And what it made me do is it made me go through some of the training and some of the Bible studies that I used to do with former students. When I was an English ministry pastor, I would do a Bible study series with the team that was going on missions. And I went back to that. You know, I printed it all out again, and I was looking at my old work, and I went through that for myself. I did Bible study for myself. And one of the passages that I always turn to is the book of Joshua. The thinking about Joshua and the position that he was in, the things that he had to endure, some of the words that God gave to him, the encouragement that God gave to Joshua as he was taking over Moses' place. It's kind of an amazing passage. If I really put myself in that position, or if I imagine myself being in Joshua's shoes, it almost makes me tremble. It makes me feel like, oh man, I can't believe that Joshua did this. But what we see in the story is that Joshua trusted God. And one of the really important lessons, or one of the important commands that God gives to him, is that he has to obey. And the amazing thing about Joshua is that he actually goes, that he hears these words, that he feels this pressure, that he has to take over for this leader who was a big deal. And right away he says, okay, we're going to do this. In 3 days, we're going to go. He doesn't go, God, let's chill out for 1 second. You know, I'm not Moses. I don't have what it takes. Let's just give me some time to prepare. Let me do a 1 year, you know, leadership training seminar, and then I'll be ready. You know, no, he says, 3 days, get your people ready. We're going to go. We're going to trust God. We're going to listen to God. And we're going to go where God says to go. And so I find this story to be kind of fascinating. It's kind of a changing of the guard. But it's something that we need to learn together as a church. That there are times where we are fearful. There are times where we look at ourselves and we feel inadequate. There are times where we think that someone else should step up. Someone else should be doing this. But if we will trust, if we will obey, if we go, then God will be with us. God will use us. God will take whatever meager thing that we bring, whatever small thing that we bring to the table, and he will multiply it. He's the one doing the work. He is the one behind the work. He is the one who is really stepping foot into the promised land. And so we can trust that it's going to work out as he sees fit. That's part of the difficult thing of being a Christian. Sometimes we want to handle everything ourselves. We want to control the narrative. We want to be in control of our destiny. You know, sometimes even when we are making decisions for the body of Christ, for the church, you know, there are things that are just more practical. There are things that make sense to us. There are things that are logical and reasonable. And of course, we find comfort in making decisions that way. You know, think about the decisions that you make together when you're deciding something for your family. You don't want to make decisions that sound crazy. You don't want to make decisions that where other people are going to raise their eyebrow and go, what kind of choice is that? Doesn't it make more sense to do this? A lot of times when a lot of important things are on the line, in this case, you know, their future, their home, people's lives are on the line. I find myself always wanting to do something that makes sense to me, that makes sense to others. But sometimes God says, you have to trust me. You have to obey me, and you have to go. These are things that Christians need to learn, understand. And I really believe that once we do, then the body of Christ will have more impact in this world, that we will be able to step out and do the things that God needs in this generation, that God needs in your families, that God needs in your communities. There are people who are in need of Christians to step up and start walking out in faith. If we don't, if we're always amongst ourselves, if we're always afraid to go, then we will never step foot into insecure territory, into uncharted lands. But maybe that's where God needs us. Maybe that's where God needs you. And so we're going to take the lessons that we see from Joshua, and we're going to try to apply it into our own personal lives. And so as you listen to this message, think about some of the friends that you need to reach. Think about some of the things that you might need to do in your workplaces, some of the communities that you need to extend your heart out to. You know, a lot of times people say, missions is not for me. I get confused by kind of that perspective. Even in those situations, maybe you feel like missions isn't for you. But in those moments when you trust, when you obey and you go, maybe you'll see that it is for everyone, that it is an invitation for God's family to join with him in the work that he's doing in this world. And every single person that goes, we don't have a lot of our youth group students in this service, but they really believe they're called to go to Honduras, that they were chosen, that they were made into a group to go and do a meaningful work for God. That happens when we trust God, when we obey God, and when we're willing to go. Moses was a big deal in the Israelite community. They looked to him as their leader. In some ways, he was almost that representation of God to them. You know, God's words, God's directions, it all came through Moses. And so replacing a person like Moses is no easy task. You know, it's not an easy thing to do to replace someone who's a great leader, someone who's very charismatic, someone who has, you know, a lot of talents and gifts, someone that can just stir the hearts of people and say, hey, we're going to run through this brick wall. And everyone goes, yes, sir, and they all run through. You know, to replace someone like that, you know, must have been a really tall task. Joshua probably looked to Moses, and Moses might have been his hero. And to say suddenly, okay, you're going to take his place. You know, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now we're going to cross. We're going to do this big thing. This is going to be a really big deal in your history. But you're the one to lead them. You're the one that's going to take them there. Now Joshua must have been going through some human emotions, wondering, oh, can I do this? Am I right for this? How am I going to replace Moses? God knows. God knows Joshua. God knows the human heart. He made us, so he understands us. And so if you look at his encouragement carefully, you know, it's a lot of normal stuff. It's the kind of stuff that people will say, you know, just amongst ourselves, right? Just human to human, person to person. These are the types of encouragement that we would give to each other. And God does that for Joshua. He doesn't just go, okay, step up. This is what I want you to do. Now do it. No, he gives him encouragement. He says, you have to trust me. I'm going to give you every place where you set your foot. The way that I was with Moses, the things that you saw from your leader, from your mentor, I'm going to do those same things for you. I'm going to be there for you. And no one's going to be able to stand against you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Be strong and courageous. See, these are words that we need to hear sometimes. These are words that all leaders, all Christians need to hear sometimes. It's not just you. It's not just about you. He doesn't call Moses my leader. He doesn't call Moses my leader. He goes, Moses, my servant, the one who listened to me, the one who did the things that I asked him to do. See, leading is not just about standing in front and being someone who can charismatically pull the hearts of people to do something. A leader is a servant who listens to God, who hears what God is saying and addresses the people, lets the people join in into what God is asking them to do. That's who Moses was. That's what made Moses great. And in some ways, God is reminding Joshua of that. He was my servant, and now I want you to be a leader, and you're going to be a servant too. What do servants do? They have to trust their master. They have to obey their master. It's not just do what you want to do. Use your ingenuity. Use your knowledge. Use your tactics and your strategy to figure out a way to take this promised land. That's not how God works. He has a plan. He has an idea. He has it all figured out already. But what he asks his people to do, what he asks his leaders to do, what he asks his servants to do is follow the plan. Listen to my words. Do the things that I ask you to do. Live the way I ask you to live. Serve me the way I ask you to serve me. That's the mark of a leader. that's perhaps the mark of an effective church. Do the things that I'm asking you to do. Live the way that I'm asking you to live. Follow my commands. You know what I like. You know what pleases me. You know what honors me. So do those things. He's not really asking for imagination and creativity. You know, think outside the box. Let's figure out new ways to serve God and new ways to please God. No, God says, no, I told you what I like. I told you how I want you to relate to me. These are the things that I want you to do. The work of a leader, the work of a servant, is to do those things, to follow the word of God. I think that's hard sometimes. I think in some instances, it's opposed to what we think, the way that we would approach things, the way that we would do things. But when those two things are on a scale, when we look and we see, this is how I would do it, this is how God would do it, as people of God, as Christians, we have to choose the way that God has set out for us, the things that he has planned for us, the things that he teaches, the things that he commands. Our thoughts, you know, the things that we decide. We're such imperfect judges. We don't have a clear vision. We can only see what's right in front of us. We can only assess situations based on our understandings, our experiences, our emotions. It's hard for us to make good decisions all the time. We have to follow God's way, follow God's word. It is a reminder to us, for those who are going on missions, this is not about us. This is not about the leader. It's not about how well I've planned things, how well things are organized, how hard we trained, how many hours we practiced. Those are important things in preparation for a mission trip, because without it, then it doesn't show the right attitude, it doesn't show the right heart. But at the end of the day, it is God who has called us there. It is God who is doing his work in this world. It is God who is going to be going with us. Every step that we take, God is there. And so we trust that. We believe that. We are going because God is there. We're not going to bring God there. It's not like we're lugging him and we're pulling him there. You know, God is already there. He's going to be walking with us. And if we can trust that, then maybe we can find some comfort in that. Maybe then we will be bold and we will be courageous. The other thing that I wanted to highlight is that Joshua hears all these words and he makes that decision to go. If you think about Moses' history, when Moses was first called as a leader, he kind of had this hesitation. He said, that sounds great, and I see what you're doing for the people, and I love the direction you're going in, God, but it's not me. That's not me. You know, like, I'm not that kind of personality. I don't have those kind of talents. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not able to do those things. So, you know, you might want to use someone else. It's almost like Moses, you know, he's like, oh, maybe you don't know me. Maybe you don't know about me. But let me inform you that I'm not the guy you're looking for. He had that kind of dialogue with God. God still used Moses. But the thing that's kind of remarkable about Joshua is filling these shoes with the task at hand, with all the people looking to him. God says, I want you to go and I want you to do this. I want you to take the land. I want you to follow my words. And right away, he says, go through the camp and tell the people, we're going to go in 3 days. Get your stuff ready. We're going. 3 days. It doesn't feel like enough time to process what is happening. It doesn't feel like it's enough to really do what they're about to do. But it's because Joshua trusts God. It's because Joshua knows that he's going to obey God. He's going to do the things that God asked him to do. And when we do that, he's able and willing to go. Maybe that's sometimes the reason that we're not willing to go. Maybe we don't have that trust built up with God. Maybe we're not willing to obey the things that God is asking us to do. A lot of churches, a lot of ministries, a lot of individuals are fearful of going. They're fearful of actually taking action. I have moments like that as well, even as a pastor. There are people and conversations that sometimes I will not have, even though God wants me to do it. I know that God wants me to be able to speak the word into someone's life, but there are times where I'm fearful, where I look at myself and I feel that I'm inadequate. Joshua says, go, let's do this. 3 days, we're going to get everything together, we're going to prepare, and we're going to start doing what God asked us to do. It is something that I admire about Joshua. But it's not because he's such a great leader. It's not because he's so fierce, that he's so bold. God knows. That's why he keeps encouraging him. Be strong. Be courageous. Be strong. Be very courageous. And don't be afraid. Because he knows that Joshua has these emotions. But Joshua follows through. He's a person that does what God asks him to do. And I don't know what that looks like in your life. I don't know what that looks like for our ministry and for our church, but the things that God asks us, I hope and pray that when we trust him, when we obey his commands, when we listen to him, that we would be people that are willing to go, that we're willing to put ourselves out there, that we're willing to step out into the deep waters, that we're willing to go out into the deserts, that we're willing to go and bring the message into places that need it most. May we be people that are able to step out in faith when God asks us to do something, the same way that Joshua was. These are words of comfort for me. You know, in preparing for this mission trip, it was what I needed to hear. It was what I needed to kind of revisit. And it has nothing to do with highlighting Joshua's character, talking about what a great leader, what a great person he was, what talents he had. It was all about him being a servant, being humble before the Lord, knowing that it was God who was going to be doing the work. In all of our lives, as individuals, together as a mission team, as a ministry, and as a church, may we have that heart of Moses, who was a servant, Joshua, who was a servant. May we have that heart so that we can trust the Lord, so that we can obey his words, and so that we will ultimately go. Let us pray. God, help us to not just sit still. Help us to not just do the things that we've always done, to remain in our comfort zones, to rationalize, to legitimize our inaction, our inactivity. But Lord, help us to see the work that needs to be done in this world, to be the light that you need in the darkness. Lord, that you send us into places that need to hear your word. That doesn't just mean going overseas. It's in our communities. Sometimes it's in our families, among our friends. Wherever you place us, whatever opportunities you give to us, help us, Lord, to be bold, to be courageous. Help us to know that you are with us, that you will never forsake us. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us to obey you. And help us to move into action. We thank you, God. We trust wholly in you, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.